And we are live. I'm Michael Angley, live for this Thanksgiving special edition show. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. I had some turkey, had some stuffing, man. That's my breaking news. I like the whole, you know, you ever tune into those news shows, right? And it's not even news shows. Can't call them news because I don't know, make like CNN or whatever, even Fox, make it up as they go along, or they cherry pick stuff. Fox isn't as bad as CNN when it comes to make it up as they go along, but they do lean into like directions that don't exist. And some people are just overly over the top when it comes to, you know, coming from a certain political agenda, which is never good for the news because it's supposed to be, here's the news and this happened and that happened and blah, 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 blah. And then you get a sense of the news. And when it comes to opinions about that news, you come up with your own opinions because you have a brain and you can think and there you go, right? But no, they don't like that. And government circles, they certainly don't like that. They want to control you, the way you think, the way you look, the way you dress, the way you act, give you limited choices. People in their cookie cutter world, people in this world, in the United States of America especially, but often first world countries, they are mainly defined by their possessions. So it's not you, the naked jib, walking through life, surviving every day. It's the clothes you wear. It's the cars you drive. It's the house you live in. It's all the stuff. And if you notice that, you know, old saying, keeping up with the Joneses, if you notice, people drive the same looking car. People live in the same looking houses, you know, like especially in the same neighborhood, you know, like there's no character because the emotion, the character, the very personality that people have are squelched, pushed down. They don't want you to be individuals. They don't want you. If you do see an individual, others dub them weird or offset, you know, something not right about them, or they're eccentric. If you're crazy and you're poor, you're batshit crazy. If you're crazy and you're rich, you're eccentric, you know? So, but who's labeling you and who's saying that? And what's the normal? There is no normal. If you want to say normal is something that was designed for you by corporate America or by governmental influences, then that's your normal. Your normal exists on somebody else's creative level, not your own, not how you are, not being that individual in this world, you know? Taoism preaches individuality. It's not a religion. It's just kind of a way of life, and you know, it's a thing. It's a philosophy. But Confucianism is about conformity, and it's about being all part of the system. You're an appendage of the government. You belong to them. Everything you do is a reflection on them. You basically have no rights because you're a part of it, right? And that's what I want to say about this whole COVID thing. Went to see my mom today for Thanksgiving. Went over there for a couple of hours, chilled out. And, you know, she had a mask on and she's in chemo. And, you know, she's hardcore, man. She still works full time, 79 years old. She's afraid of catching things. She's more afraid of giving me something because I don't see anybody. I've been a complete introvert and I've been staying away from anything and anybody, anything. I go into these stores, supermarket, run in, run out, get what I need to get, avoid people, do the mask, do the hand. That's fine. I'm happy doing it. I don't feel like it's a restriction right now. I don't like wearing the mask, especially when it's freaking hot out. But these days, it is what it is. And I don't have to wear it that much. I'm not around people. I don't wear it in the car by myself. People that do that are freaks, you know. And I see people just, like, biking in the middle of nowhere, these biking trails, like, wearing the mask. And it's like, wow, man, you think it's just kind of floating in the air and you're going to happen by, you know, no people around, but whatever. I'm of the mindset that people could do whatever stupid thing they want to do as long as it doesn't affect me or anybody else out there. That's really what laws are about. They protect victims, you know? People do something stupid, it affects you negatively, then boom, they get nailed. But when people want to be this way, be that way, they get stuck into fads and all that, that's fine. I like to notice patterns. I'm good at it, you know? You show me any kind of pattern and I'll show you what the deal is, a pathway through it or whatever, whether it's an algorithm, whatever, it don't matter. I love it all. And my brain is just good at doing that. It always has been. Not bragging. I'm saying it's one of my, there's a lot of stuff I'm bad at too. So this is one of the things, this is one of my strong suits. One of the things I'm good at. I noticed patterns in COVID-19. I noticed a pattern right away back when I was talking about it on the show back in last December, when I first saw the outbreak happen in Wuhan in the news, that I watched the news. You know, when I do a news show, and this show, I don't even consider a news show. It's a current events kind of talk it up, talking head type of thing, whatever. It's that. So when I do my research, I don't do it through news outlets on television. I don't watch cable news. I don't get my information from Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. You know, these are squidgy preppy boys that basically are in front of you. You know, they were the preppy dudes back in school telling you your business. They're the preppy dudes now on television telling you your business. Doesn't mean that they know anything, not then and now. And if they're out there on that news outlet paying big bucks and telling you something, they're not doing it to help you. They're doing it to help them. They're conveying a message. They're pushing the agenda, all of them. So you do research. Research comes from what happened, what the news is, what's going on. And then you shape-shifted into what you need, you know, so I can talk about it right here, right? So COVID-19, when I saw it back in December, I had mentioned it here, mentioned it even on Facebook and out there, like, you know, this infection is growing. It's alarming, downright scary. It's coming. We have to prepare now for this. So that was December. I think the first death from COVID in China, the first reported death anyway, was on New Year's Eve, you know, and then it goes on from there, right? I also talked about the year of the rat. And if you don't believe in it, doesn't matter if you don't believe in it. This is the year of the golden rat. Every time there's a year of the golden rat specifically, there's some major virus, terrible thing happening in humanity, unprecedented event, but that's fine. Year of the rat's over on or there about February 12th. Then comes year of the metal ox, strong, powerful metal, you know, boom. And we're going to need it too, because next year is going to be a freaking challenging year. But this is the deal. When it comes to patterns, this virus has a pattern, how it spikes, how it grows. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. If you look at it, you can see the peaks and the valleys, and then you know, try to imagine where it's going to end up as it progresses and grows and morphs and changes and mutates, especially, you know, they've got this antiviral. We talked about that on the show, about the ingredients of it, you know, how it disrupts your DNA and bonds other DNA to your DNA on a molecular basis and basically changes your DNA. And they're saying, no, it'll be fine. But, you know, they rushed it through. They have no real trials. You don't know what the long-term effect is on people. Yeah, sure, down the road, it could cause birth defects. It could cause anything. It could cause people to go sterile. Does that sound crazy? It's not, because if you don't know, you can assume it could do anything. It could grow bumps on your face. I don't know, because they don't know. You know, you're talking about basically editing DNA. to accept this new COVID. And I don't think that's warranted. And yet, I really feel as wow, look what's happening, and this is going to happen all over throughout the country, you know. But really, the mortality rate, the case fatality rate, has gone way down, you know, and it's filtering through people. It's every time this virus encounters a new person, is a new host, is a whole new set of DNA. So even having an anti-vaccine, and it's hard to have that because usually you can't kill the virus, right? That's what they say, you know, because they have never been able to do that yet. You can't kill the cold virus. You can't kill the flu virus. You treat the symptoms and make sure the symptoms don't kill people. And after a while, after something new is introduced into humanity, like it had been from China, you know, specifically on purpose, no doubt, you know, after this had been introduced, you know, people have to develop their natural immunity to it, right? So, okay. So the pattern, what's the pattern? I'm looking at this pattern. And then I also see more alarming, if you can imagine that, more alarming is the overreach in privacy, the overreach in pure power of telling you, these dictator governors that have become like telling you, you know, I mean, you know, what to do, where to go, how many people can assemble, and where are you going to be, and whatever, and who you know what. I mean, they weren't even letting people visit people in hospitals who are terminally ill on their deathbed. They died alone because of this, because of these politicians' overreach. There's always a way. If you can go into Walmart or a supermarket and buy food and drink and water and walk out, and everybody's alive at the end of the day, you can visit your loved ones. You can bring your cat into the vet, dog or whatever you got. They got people dropping them off outside. If they have to be put down, they can't see them or whatever. There is a loss of humanity going on because of this panic that's been created by a particular point of view, a political point of view. And then you get the people who want you to be scared so they can cash in on you. It's that. Then you want to be really alarmed. All the stuff going on, no singing in public, no dancing in public, really? No eating outside anymore. They're going to end that for several weeks or several months, even though there's no scientific basis saying that eating outside caused any kind of spread. No, instead, you know what you're doing? You're living under Sharia law. It's exactly what you're doing. You know, look at the laws in Saudi Arabia. Look at the laws in Iran. You know, identical to what's going on now, including covering your faces, you know. But isn't it interesting how people are, they reject that whole notion of Islam and Sharia law. I'd never live under Sharia law or whatever. But you're there and you're doing it, you know, and there's a limit to the spreading of this virus. But then, all right, let's say that the face masks actually help, which I don't think that, I think that maybe there's a percentage in there, but not so as you would think of the degree that they're pitching. An N95 mask filters out 95%. Of stuff. The other 5% is a hell of a lot of stuff, including this virus, right? The N95 mask does not filter out COVID-19. If anything, it creates more of a stronger airflow around your mouth as you're breathing in, breathing out through the porous material and also around the mask, you know, right? So you'll be able to suck in particles that are further away, or if you're pushing particles out, same. Okay, there's that aspect of it, you know, where it doesn't make any sense. But then there's the aspect of the fact that when you wear the mask and I can attest to this because I do it all the time, and I'm conscious of it, is that I'm always touching it. I'm always adjusting it. I'm always moving it, especially if I'm standing there having a conversation with somebody and I'm at, you know, I'm talking to them and I'm moving the mask and moving it around and adjusting it constantly, you know? So I think that you have to look at society in general and how it acts and reacts and what is, especially considering the Bill of Rights, what is acceptable of, you know, oh, you're not allowed to have 10 people at your party. But then you see these politicians out there in these big parties without the mask, hanging out, doing their thing, you know, all of them. Yeah. And where's the common sense in that? Where's the leadership? How about setting the example, leading by example? They're not going to do that. It's do as I say, not do as I do. And that's their deal. That's their whole deal. So Thanksgiving 2020, you know, I never expected it to be an amazing holiday. I don't even like Thanksgiving. I give thanks every day for the things that I have. Thanksgiving is based in a lot of negative stuff. It was the beginning of the rape of the land of the Native Americans. If you want to look at it like that, it was that first event which started, you know? So, fine. I boycotted Thanksgiving for a long time. I ate Chinese food and was loving it. No fuss, no muss. But then, you know, you get to family, you start raising kids, you do that, you get back into that whole tradition. Okay, do the turkey, all the stuff, have people come over. I go get my mom, bring her to the house, and I did that for years, man. You know, and it is more of a bond of family than some hokey beginnings of why and how it started. So you can hate the roots of it, but you can't hate having that moment to get together with family, especially ones you haven't seen in a long time, right? Yeah, there's a virus going on. And I think, yeah, people who are responsible are clean anyway. They wash their hands, they take care of themselves, you know. But then you have people who are completely irresponsible. So like in Brooklyn, they had a big wedding, 15,000 people for this wedding for a rabbi, big rabbi and a rabbi's son, right? No one there wearing a mask and people shoulder to shoulder. They jammed, I think it was like 12,000 people. They jammed him into an arena that was supposed to hold 7,000 people. 7,000 people, they jammed him in there. So that's crazy, man. They said that you couldn't even breathe there. People were jammed in like sardines. So why is that okay? And, you know, Cuomo's going to have the nerve to tell you, you can't have 11 people in your house. You know, only 10. Right? Or the police will come in. I mean, he gave the police authority to knock on your door. And I mean, like, come in without a warrant or anything and start counting people. And if you're guilty of having too many people, you can get fined. You can even get jail time. Jail time. They release people from jail because of COVID, right? Thought jails weren't good. So my problem, one of my problems with this whole thing is that people often become desensitized after something has gone on for a long time, you know, especially the overreach of these politicians. And this has gone on for quite a while. Can you honestly say that these people have successfully mitigated the virus? Or do you think that the virus is running its pattern, running its lifespan, basically, as it finds new hosts and as it diminishes in new hosts, you know? Not as many people who are getting the virus or needing medical care. You see headlines that this hospital has only 6 beds left, or that one's got 2 beds left, or there's dead bodies in this refrigerator car. But they don't tell you the story around it, do they? They don't tell you, and I'm not saying people don't die from it, because obviously they do. you know, but you're talking about a very small percentage versus a large population, you know, and the rules that they've made have had a huge impact in people's rights, but I don't see the impact on the virus. I don't see how it made the virus better. I see other civilizations and the stuff they did in England, France, and whatever. No matter how they mitigated, and this is the thing about this virus that you'll find interesting. No matter who, no matter how, no matter what state, no matter what country, no matter how they mitigated, the virus is returning. It's coming back. It's got a rhythm to it, right? It's alive. So this is something that they're going to have to contend with. And no matter how strict, no matter how loose the rules, it's still alive. It's still kicking, but it's not as bad as it was when it started off, when it first out, the first outbreak in Wuhan, and then, of course, into Europe, you know, like Italy and all that. You're not seeing the numbers, those numbers, you know. So you have to be careful. People of a certain age have to be careful. A few weeks ago, I could tell you that I don't know anybody that had the virus, right? I would say that. Now I know a handful of people that have the virus currently, and they're fighting it. One of those people is very, she's very ill. You know, she needs a kidney. She's on dialysis, and she has a lot of stuff going on. You know, and they're kicking the virus's ass. They reported the symptoms. By the way, both of them, it's a couple. They didn't lose their sense of taste or smell, which is a thing people always say. Oh, you know, if you lose your sense of taste and smell, you've got the COVID virus, right? That type of thing. It seems to me that the CDC really doesn't know much about it. And I know that a lot of information had been suppressed, but you can't suppress information if you don't have it. You know, I know Trump was doing the dance on these news briefings and whatever. And, you know, he bullshits people. You know, he's that guy. Everybody describes him as a liar. Every last person there, the generals, people know him, friends. Well, if he has any, he doesn't really have any friends, does he? He has people that he buys or people that he intimidates. But these news briefings and his whole political stance on the virus, he allowed the Democrats to control him. His whole administration had been a dance with the Democrats, and this dude, you know, defending himself against their attacks. What they did was totally wrong. They used their political power to go after a sitting president because they didn't like him. They didn't like the outcome. And then their thugs are out there in the streets, rioting through the streets, breaking stuff, burning stuff, robbing people, hurting people, raping people. Oh, yeah, man. All that was going on. And these so-called protests, you know. And it's interesting to hear people say, well, at least they're, you know, Trump is out. There won't be protests. It's like you can't blame him for what the Democrats have done. They set a precedent when they used the political power of the United States of America, people's passion, people's faith, people's everything. They used it to go after a sitting president that they didn't like. And it's interesting to hear Joe Biden that, oh, we can heal finally and move on from this terrible era. And wow, you know, get past all the hate. These guys caused the hate. They did it. And everything that they say, their media, their politicians, Nancy Pelosi, all these people. But you know what they are? They're cutthroat politicians, man. They're cutthroat. And they really don't have any friends. They don't have any, you know, people that they trust even, or you can trust them. They're literally the worst type of people that you can ever meet. But why are they there? Because this is hell. and evil rises to the top, and that's it. And that's it. You want to know the goddamn answer? There you go. Welcome to hell, right? You know the song Highway to Hell? Yeah, you're there. Because look at these people. Look at them. Look at the powerful people in the world. The Hollywood types, you know, all the big music business people. These are the worst characters, the worst type of people you'll ever meet in your life. You know, they're spectacles and people look at them. They watch them like performing monkeys. They're up there on stage doing their thing. Their lives fall apart. You watch them on reality shows and their rehab and all that. And then, boom, they either grow old, penniless, or they're dead. Talk about an unforgiving business. How many of these stars, these actors, these singers, how many really come out on top at the end of the day? I mean, they have to have their own brain for managing money, you know, because a lot of them just end up broke and in debt. And they get used up by the system. Oh, yeah, their managers make money. Their agents make money. The studios who own them make money. You know, they make money off of it. Just, you know, like leeches, man. Here comes the next one. They'll leech on to them. And a lot of them are, you know, the children of these famous people who are already there. It's like, what makes you think they can act? What makes you think they have any talent? And that moves me right now to Wolfgang Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen died weeks back, right? Terrible loss. I think he was a great guitarist. I don't think he's the best guitarist in the world. I'll say that. People are going a little off the board saying how amazing he was. But for the era, for the time, for the music, for the band that they were, especially, you know, these guys surfaced in the late 70s, man. So they've been around for a while. They were ballsy and loud, big group, you know, a lot of sound, man. Very powerful, cool stage antics and all kinds of stuff, right? Yeah, awesome music, man. I love Van Halen. And then when Van Halen got into the mid-80s, right, they started going really commercial. They started adding keyboards, which didn't fit the band. It was a guitar band. It wasn't like a keyboard band. So it didn't fit. I didn't like it. And then, you know, they kind of powdered up in a way of just, I don't know, PC or commercialism. They weren't commercial, I guess. That was their whole thing. And then, you know, David Lee Roth left the band. They put Sammy Hagar. I like Sammy Hagar a lot. I think he's a good performer and all that. I'm not saying he was a good fit with Van Halen, but he was there for a while and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the band kind of comes and goes. They have a big following, so people like them. They don't have a new following. You're not finding a bunch of millennials running out there buying, you know, Van Halen albums. It's a different time, right? So, yeah. And it's interesting to know, like, all these older bands are still out there in big numbers, and they're the biggest draw. The Rolling Stones and U2 and AC/DC, biggest draw, because modern bands don't have a real following. They're just flash in the pan. Whatever the studio invests in them and whatever they can get out of them, and they come and go, unless you're talking about like even specific rap performers, you know, but it's rare to have somebody who's really got the stick-to-itiveness to stay in there and keep changing things up as they go. Like Snoop Dogg can do no wrong. I mean, this guy is an amazing talent. He's great rapper, but very funny, you know, very, very witty. And I think that goes a lot into his style. But he's out there always working, always doing something out there, you know, always performing and keeping it going. A lot of people just kind of drop off in the middle of nowhere, or they're gone. They become back into obscurity, you know. So all these bands like Van Halen, all these guys, these musicians go out there and they boink these beautiful models, right? And in fact, take a look at Tommy Lee's current wife, Brittany. Oh my God. Whew. And if you need an ad to start learning how to play the drums, that's it right there. That's that ad right there. Look at Tommy Lee's life. And I'm not saying you're going to achieve that level. You could though, if you're a great player, you could achieve that level. I don't even think he's all that great. He's all right. But it was the stage. It was the antics. You know, he had a drum kit that spun around as he's playing, man. You know, a big cage that spun around. That's cool. But the girl, oh, my God. See? And he's been blessed with females all of his musical life. And he knows exactly why those women are with him. Because if he was the carpenter, he probably wouldn't be with someone on that caliber, safe to say. But beyond that, Wolfgang Van Halen, the offspring of Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli, right? Is it Valerie Bertinelli? Somebody. I don't know. The chick from One Day at a Time, whatever her name was. I think it's that. I'm not up on the stuff anymore, man. I try to push these things out of my brain, and I, like, I try to embrace science, but not really like Hollywood, right? Anyway, Wolfgang Van Halen. Ever since Eddie Van Halen died, you know, and he taught Wolfgang how to play the bass. Right. And I often say that the bass is probably the easiest instrument to learn. And it's one thing to learn how to play. It's another thing how to master it, you know, master the bass. Right. But the reality is you don't have to have, it's not like a guitar. It's not like a piano even, you know, you have to go long and far to really get great with a guitar or, you know, other instruments, right? So, you know, I guess Eddie Van Halen feels it is Valerie Bertinelli, isn't it? He feels the pressure to put his son in a band. His son's overweight, obese. And you figure, like, you got that kind of money. If you're rich, and I'll say this, you have no excuse to be fat. None. Because you can hire a personal trainer that's going to pick up your fat ass and move your fat ass around and make your fat ass lose weight. People who are poor and of middle income, overweight, a lot of emotional eaters like me, I eat if I'm depressed, you know. And if I was rich, I would have like two personal trainers picking up my fat ass, running me out the door. But anyway, so this guy's grossly obese. Morbidly obese, we'll say. He plays the bass. And they replaced Michael Anthony, who was the bass player of Van Halen since the beginning, basically, right? That I can remember. They replaced him with the son. And that's got to be a turd sandwich, man, to begin with. And Eddie Van, you know, Eddie's saying, oh, come on, you know, he's my son and whatever. You know, I know he's a talentless shrub, but I got to help him. Got to put him on stage, help him get laid. Okay. And that's as simple as that, right? I guess Michael Anthony go take a tambourine, stand in the background, shake a tambourine, you know what I mean? Stick it between his tuchus and stick his tambourine around while Eddie Van Halen emasculates him, you know? But so Eddie Van Halen, towards the end, of course, was years later, you know, had cancer, and because he smoked nonstop, and the guy drank a lot, and really like a lot of out of control behavior. You think it's a rock star? Rock stars do that, man. Out of control behavior, you know, didn't bring him to a good place. The guy, I don't think I've ever seen him without a cigarette, right? Cigarettes cause cancer, says it right on the box. So, okay, now he's putting his son out there. So then there's all this discussion of, you know, Eddie Van Halen's eruption and how, you know, Wolfgang Van Halen can do it as good or better. So if you don't know, eruption is a guitar solo that Eddie Van Halen does, right? It's all right. I see, now that stuff doesn't impress me. It's cool. If you're a 12-year-old boy, you're like, yeah, you know. But if you have a mature ear, you're like, okay. When it comes to technical guitarists and You want people like Joe Satriani, you know, even Steve Vai, who actually taught Joe Satriani. And I am friends with the guy who owned the studio in East Meadow, Ultraphonic, and also his parents owned Corette Music, which is downstairs, where Steve Vai used to give guitar lessons when he was a teenager. And he used to teach Steve, Joe Satriani gave guitar lessons to people like Steve Vai who walked through the door. So that's that right there. So when you listen to these guitarists like Steve Vai, or even better, Joe Satriani, and there's quite a few who are really amazing, you know, just unbelievable players. And you could just listen to them play all the time, man. They're just, you know, they know that intimate with their instrument. Like, they never put it down. Jimi Hendrix was a guy who never put his guitar down, always carried around basically everywhere, you know. So you listen to these amazing guitarists, and you hear Eddie Van Halen, and he's good. You know, I love Angus Young too, AC/DC. Never disappoints, man. Great player. So you listen to an Eddie Van Halen, and you're like, yeah, he's good, you know. He's good. I'm not going to put him down. But his son is horrible. Horrible. And I just don't like these kids of famous people. Like, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to get this amazing musical ability that your parents have, or acting ability, or whatever the hell it is. Just go your own way. Go your own way. So then he's got this album out. So, of course, Eddie Van Halen dies, and his son releases this album, and it's all these different musical outlets that I have, you know, like these news stories that I get are plastering that, plus the news, and all. I'm like, oh my God. It was such a flood of, hey, you know, here's, look at who's new. From a dude that you don't even know who the hell he is, what he does, she said he's Eddie Van Halen's son. All of a sudden, here comes all these stories, how amazing and whatever, and blah, how great he is. You got to listen to it. Yeah. Like, come on, man. I'll give Eddie Van Halen his due. You know, he passed away. I'll give him that too. You know what I mean? You say prayers for him and all that. But his son just sucks. He's like, God, you know, just because you can play something doesn't mean you have talent, that you're going to be some master. There are people who just pick up an instrument and can master it. This guy doesn't have it. You know, he just doesn't have it. My honest opinion as a critic, and I'm a critic, as you can tell, and it's important to understand where this all comes from, because, you know, people in the band got booted because of this dude, you know. And, you know, all right, Wolfgang, go out and start your own band. Go out and play with you. Go play the clubs. I'm Eddie Van Halen's son. That would be hard enough to be Eddie Van Halen's son, multi-hundreds of millions of dollars in his empire, his son, to go out there and perform, play the bass. If I was Eddie Van Halen's son, I'd be sitting there eating pizzas in my mansion, doing other stuff, moving money around, playing the market or something. I'll sit there with the bass in my lap with two hot girls on both sides playing the stock market. You know what I mean? Put money in Twinkies, pizza, something like that. But to really, you know, probably he had no choice to go out there and play. You know, you see a lot of actors in Hollywood put their kids out there. They have no talent. Look at Will Smith and his kids. Oh, my God. Talk about no talent shrubs. No talent. None. Zero. Zilch. Just because Will Smith is just a great, amazing talent doesn't mean his kids are going to be, you know. And that's what comes Hollywood. They used to have talent scouts. They used to go out there to look for people, find people. All that, not anymore. Now it's just whoever's available. Whoever, oh, you know, here's a famous turd kid, and you got to write a movie for them. Or no, even better, take a movie that was already great, and then you know, rewrite it, do a redo of the movie, right? Come on, man, that's lame. So on top of being lame, I didn't get up for it, but there was a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. I didn't even know if they were going to do it. I guess they limited it down to one block and everybody complained about it. The one thing people agreed on is that it sucked. That is like, it is the world of division. People actually got together on the internet and just basically said it was horrible. And you know, social distancing, the Rockettes couldn't do that thing. And, you know, I guess it was a lot more politically correct and that type of stuff. So come on, man. It is what it is. I used to love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, not because of the content, but more because of the energy, the people there, the just yelling, screaming, everybody having a good time, right? This year, nobody gathering. It's 2020. The city's a mess. New York State's a mess. It's not going to get any better anytime soon because you don't have any leadership that's going to make it any better. So, you know, it's a hard year. Next year will be much, much different next year. And we'll actually have a lot more to celebrate next year because we would have done a way better job of mitigating this virus and moving on. And they're talking about the vaccine and how people have to have the vaccine. They're ordering hundreds of millions of shots. They're saying they're going to make it mandatory. And I already know people saying they're not going to get it. If they, you know, they don't want it. If they don't think that they need it, they won't get it. So, and there's a lot to this. There's a lot to this, and you can't just go knee-jerk reaction and say, hey, we've got something, let's do this right away, without knowing the consequences, you know, really, without knowing the consequences. So at the end of the day, all you want to do is be healthy for you, your family, whatever. I don't like people to begin with. So if I have to stay away from people for another 15, 20, 30 years, I'm happy. I'm fine with that. Because there's people I like to spend time with, and there's people that I don't want to spend time with at all. You know, especially like if you're, you know, I don't like crowded restaurants anyway. I'm not really a restaurant guy. I'd rather cook my own food and make something really awesome. But if I go to a restaurant, I like it to be quiet, quaint, and away from people, man. I don't like crowded anything for that matter. So, but it seems like for the next year or so, it's going to be a hodgepodge of madness. And then you get Biden, who's going in there trying to look like, you know, Mr. Good Guy, saying all this stuff. There's a lot that looms for him, too. You know, and the Republicans, if they had a brain amongst any of them, they would get rid of Mitch McConnell. Just get rid of him. He is the wrong person. He's another career politician. A guy's been there forever. He has no ideas of his own. He just pushes the agenda. He's got to go. If you really want to make things work, he's got to go. Trump, bad enough that he's not conceding and he's hanging in there. And, you know, Giuliani, the whole thing is a disgrace. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for them, isn't it? So he's going to go down as the cranky mini that he's coming off as. And people will remember Trump for not going out gracefully, you know, with grace and respect. For going out, a total 100% mess is what he's doing. And I know people who voted for him, who supported him, and they're walking away from him, and they can't believe the way he's acting. And then this idiot Giuliani, this guy's nuts, man. He's, you know, there are people who belong in mental institutions. This guy's crazy. That's my honest opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. But I know crazy. I traversed into Manhattan at one time every day. Every day I went to New York City, I saw somebody who was crazy, you know? And that's this dude Giuliani. So I don't know where Trump's head is at. I think he's just kind of fizzling out, and that'll be that. If he goes the other direction and tries to stay in and gets even crazier, sure, he could declare war. That could happen. He replaced the head of the Pentagon. He replaced the head of the CIA. He's replacing all these different heads. He's firing a lot of people and putting other people in place who are like no names or whatever. So who the hell knows, man? You know, I wouldn't put anything past him at this point. And he's become a national embarrassment. So the whole voting thing did, this whole election, the way the Democrats have acted, the way the Republicans have reacted and acted. Well, you know, when people attack you, that means they usually means that they have the resources to do so. Once you're on a defensive, all you do is spend your time, you know, defending and wasting all your resources of their defense. See, that's why look throughout history of people who won the wars. were the ones who had the most stuff, and they attack the little weak bastard and they crush him and they move on. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like that. So anyway, I'm going to end the show on that positive note. This is Michael Angley on Thanksgiving, man. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Hope you guys didn't eat too much. You're sitting outside smoking that Thanksgiving Day blunt, thinking about that pumpkin pie with some ice cream on it or some apple crisp or whatever you got, man. Whatever you got, it's all good. If you like it, it's good. That's the only thing that matters. And I will say, I love you all. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christian, and all over the world, saying good night, good day, good afternoon, good morning to you.